Hello and welcome to Gospel for the Glory of Jesus. I'm Pastor George Todd, and I'm so glad to be here today. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. One thing for sure, we know this, that men are never supposed to make coffee. We know that because Hebrews. Oh, no, I came out backwards, didn't it? Anyway, that's the oldest joke in the world, but I told it wrong, so hey, whatever. One of those kind of days. We're so happy to be here, though, and we're so glad that we're going into the Christmas week and to know also that Jesus is the reason for the season, not just your local department store. Okay, if you had a Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to get started. First, we're going to have prayer. Let's pray. Lord, help us, please. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Alrighty. Okay, it says here, I'm using the Good News Bible, so don't get mad at me. It says, to have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. It was by their faith that God of ancient times won God's approval. It is by faith that we understand that the universe was created by God's word so that what can be seen was made out of what cannot be seen. All right, we're going to deal with that. Then we're going to go to 2 Timothy, I believe. Oh, 7. Let's go to 6. Good news says, for this reason, I remind you to keep alive the gift that God has given you when I laid my hands on you. We dealt with this verse a little while back, but still we want to go and look at it again. Not look at it again, but a little bit deeper. 7, for the spirit that God has given us does not make us timid, or God did not give us the spirit of fear, but instead his spirit fills us with power, love, and self-control. And what God, I like to look at it, he doesn't want us to be cowards. He doesn't, timid is to have a spirit of cowardice. We're supposed to be bold and standing up for what is true and what's right and believing in ourselves. And this thing where it says have self-control, it's talking about self-mastery. You know, self-mastery, really, we got to understand that. When we got saved, the Bible says we're supposed to go to the cross daily. We're supposed to put to death our flesh. The flesh is the most horrendous stuff to try to deal with. Now, it's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with it when it's under control. But the flesh can get out of hand, and the heart, which is so wicked, you don't even know what's down in there, so nasty and filthy, without the cleansing blood of Christ, that it can get you in a lot of trouble. So here he's trying to get us, young Timothy, to know you have to have mastery over yourself. And one of the things about having mastery over yourself and what Christ showed us in the garden was that you have to even be willing to lay your life down for the Lord. And that's because once we get saved, we're no longer myself. I don't belong to me anymore, not me. I belong to God. I belong to him, so all I have is a self, not a myself. But anyway, you'll get it. Think about it. Pray about it. And if I'm wrong, then, you know, don't whip me about it. Okay? So this thing of having power and love and all that good stuff is very important in being a powerful witness for Christ. So, first of all, you got to have faith. Then we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. And that's where we're going to start, okay? All right, y'all hang in there with a brother. You know, sometimes, you know, I'm getting kind of, this good eye don't work as good as the other good eye, so. Okay, 1 Corinthians. And it's you should know it by heart, but, you know, that's okay. Starting at, 13, it's a love chapter. But we're going to be at 13:13, okay? And yours says King Jimmy deals with. Meanwhile, it talks about. Well, the good news says. Meanwhile, these things remain: faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. All through this chapter, Paul is trying to let people know that being religious is and being a supposedly a Christian, that's who he's talking to, people who wanted all the gifts. He's trying to let them know, I don't care what gift you got. If you don't have love, it's no good. And I know a lot of people, rather than realizing that, I think the Lord called me to deal with folk, church folk. Church folk are the roughest kind of animal you know what differentiates the human species from animals is that we have a soul. We have a soul. And that soul was created by God. And that soul is the breath of God. It really is not air. It's not. He breathed into our nostrils the gift of life. It means essence. The essence of God is in us. And that's why we have a yearning for him. So he lets us know that we're more spiritual than we are physical. And that's why this thing of love and faith and hope and all that is so important. So today I just want to go a little bit deeper than, because we have people always read the verses, but we sometimes take a commercial view of it, because a lot of folks have commercialized faith and made it something that is a commodity that you have. And really the faith is about who you have faith in. It's in God, not just in your faith. It's how you use your faith. All the parables deal with faith. A lot of the parables deal with faith, and they usually deal with how you use your faith, how you invest in your faith, how you work your faith. And so we're going to try to get there, but I know I'm probably going to run out of time. Seeing I'm talking about time right now, I'm running out of it. Since time comes from God, and he's the source of it. He's the one that created it. So we best knowing, we got a sound mind. I think that thing talking about sound mind means having a sober mind, one that's not drunken off of the world, but one that is really, if it's drunken off anything, it should be drunk off the wine of the love of God. So we to have a sober mind really is reminds us is that we are here just for a little while. That one day we're going to die, and that it means we better be about God's business while we have the time to do it. Okay, you might not like that. That's okay. But the truth is light. Set you free. That's what it does anyway. Truth sets you free. Faith, hope, and love. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Some of this stuff I'm going to be reading to you so you can get it. I'm not going to try to be this great, wonderful hooping preacher. I'm just going to talk to you. I hope that's okay. But I know I love it when the Lord just teaches me things. And so verse 13 says, faith, hope, and love occurs when we are reconnected to God, the Father. That happens when we are born again from above. Now, we're not talking about if you are an intellectually oriented Christian. You just got your mind is the only thing that got Christianized. That's consent. That means you consented in your mind. You say, well, I believe that's true. But being born again is something that's supernatural that takes place, that God has to touch your heart and convince you and convict you that the word of God is true, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That truth of who Christ is, that he came to show us what the Father looks like and who he is and his character, it's something that happens when you hear that truth. It makes it's a clicking kind of, really just like a button being turned on. You're like your spirit was dead and now it's been turned back on, regenerated, been reconnected to the generator or the power source, so that now you can understand and see the spiritual truths that are in this Bible. Otherwise, you read the Bible, it's just, you're just reading it like a textbook. The scribes and Pharisees did that, and Jesus said, y'all were looking for me, and I was right there in it, and y'all couldn't even see me. That happens, the reason is this, is that once you're born again, God helps us to be able to see the unrevealed Christ. He helps us to see Christ in the Word, because see, God hides in his Word, and he had. And he wants you to find him. And when you seek him diligently, that's when you find him. Why, you know, why does he put that in there? Those that seek him diligent will find him. It means he's looking to see if you really love him. If you really, you're going to put forth the effort to have a relationship with him. I'll tell you, when my wife and I were getting together many years ago, don't say it, many years ago, I pursued her, you know. I said, hey, girl, come on, let's go get a cheeseburger. What kind of cheeseburger you want? What you want, onions? You want it your way? What you want, you know? What kind of ice cream you like? What kind of movies you like? What do you want to do? Always asking questions. Where do you want to go? Do you like horseback riding? Do you like to just ride in the country? Come on, girl. You like to go to football games? You like baseball? What you like? What are we going to do? So that's what happens when we reconnect with God. We're supposed to start asking our Father questions. Daddy, what about the... Who's your mama? Who your mama, God? Where she come from? What? You know... You might say, well, you better wait for that question to be answered. But anyway, it's a whole new way of living that doesn't take place that you really know that Jesus is God all by himself and that he's showing you who his Father is. His Father is God. And he wants you to be connected because God wants a family. Now, here's what happens that when we're born. It talks about in John, it says something about the water and the this and the birth and the that and that and the other. That you know, you have to have a natural birth, and then you have to have a natural or physical birth. But then he says you must be born again. You must be spiritually born from above. And what the connection is, he's trying to say, look, when you were born as a baby, you were disconnected. When you came out of that womb, you were disconnected. But a spiritual birth is this. It's not this. It's this. It's you are reconnected to God. See, sin disconnected us, but God reconnects us through the power of the crucifixion and the blood of Christ. And he puts back that kind of a spiritual umbilical cord that reconnects us in the spirit to him so we can hear him now. And we're on his tuning, we're on his frequency, and we know what he's talking about. We believe, we know he's telling the truth, and by the spirit of adoption, we are now in his family. We've been grafted in to be with the Jews. He just loves us. He's been loving us anyway, but he loved us enough to love us into heaven. And he's trying to keep us from going to hell. Some of y'all are just determined to go. But that's why he's trying to scare hell out of some of you. Anyway, I hope they don't blank that out. But anyway, y'all forgive me. I'm kind of, you know, get kind of wild sometimes. So it's the blood of Christ that brings this this kinship redeemer thing that it talks about when we talk about in the Old Testament, being a kinship redeemer, that this blood, we have a blood connection with Christ. We're blood brothers. We're family because of the blood of Christ. It had to be a sacrifice of a blood that wasn't tainted by sin. And so now we've been brought into the family. And faith, it happens. You don't have to make yourself have faith. It comes with this reconnection, this born-again experience. There are some Christians that have not been born again. They pretty much are intellectuals, and they believe in the philosophy of Christianity. And then some of them just like going to church, and some are just addicted to church. Now, that's a bad addiction right there. You can be addicted to all kinds of things. But being addicted to religion, and I'm not just talking about Christianity, I'm talking about being addicted to religion. It's almost like Marx and Engels said, that it's the opiate of the people. They said religion is the opiate of the people. It means it's the drug that keeps everybody settled down from just going berserk and crazy. And now they're saying religion is what's causing all the wars. So what in the world? So that's why we need Christ even more, because he's not a religion. He is a faith. It is a faith. And it makes people mad when we say that Jesus is the only way. They're trying to say now that we're the ones that's causing problems in the world because we believe Christ is the only way. Well, isn't that something? Can't even now, they're trying to get it. We can't even preach Christ is the only way in church. Now, you know that's something else. Well, some churches ain't going to be no problem because Christ ain't been in those churches for years. Anyway, we're going to go on. We ain't going to mess with that. Amen. So faith helps us to see Jesus Christ as the revealed truth of who God is. I'm going to say that again because that's just so wonderful. Faith, when we get born again, helps us to see Jesus Christ as the revealed truth of who God is. It's by grace. you know, and faith that we're born again, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, unless any man should boast. You can't boast about being a Christian because God is the one who provided the vehicle and the ability to become saved in the first place. Amen, Walls. I know the Walls, Hammer.
Amen.
Amen. So this other thing here, 1 Corinthians 13, I don't want to get too far from the scriptures because I'll be talking about brother and you in the book. Hope. Hope helps us to hold on against spiritual attacks and earthly attacks too. Or really, mostly earthly attacks, because most of the people that really get us are not the devil or demons. It's people putting up with people. Hallelujah. They're crazy. They will mess with you. Mess with your mind, mess with your money, mess with your honey, mess with you. And it'll make you want to go off and go upside the head. But it says spiritual attacks which try to destroy what we believe about God. You know, that's why we need hope. We need to have that vision that at the end of the tunnel, the light at the end of the tunnel is the Lord and not another train coming. It is Him. It's Him. But sometimes you can be in circumstances where you think you're not going to get out of that situation, but the Lord will let you know that you will overcome. You shall overpower your servant. He says, if you have the faith to move mountains, you have that. And mountains is a mountain of problems, of circumstances, situations. He said you can believe right through that. You can trust Him, and He'll help you climb those mountains of circumstance. He'll get you tunnel through it, climb over it, or just demolish it through this His power. And it's His power, not your faith power. It's your power, your faith in Him, your trusting in Him. And love, the last one of this wonderful verse is, love is connection to the power source as to the Father and being connected through His essence. And that lasts, and it lasts forever, throughout eternity. When faith and hope will no longer be needed. I'm going to say it again because I didn't put all my notes down so they were legible. Love is the connection to the power source. And that connection is to know that it's the essence of who God is. God transfers His essence into our souls and it regenerates us, bam, into our hearts. It explodes, that truth, because that's what faith is based on. Let's look at what faith is based on and what love. But love is forever, because one day you're not going to need faith because you're going to see God face to face. You're going to need hope because there ain't going to be no spiritual attacks. Ain't nobody going to be getting on your nerves in heaven. Everything's going to be good. It's going to be wonderful. Amen. Hallelujah. But until then, you got to put up with some mess. Okay. Let's look at this here. The power. What is that power? Who is the power? We get love, you know, power and a sound mind. And I'm going back to the other verse that we talked about. It comes when we are born again in spirit and truth through the Holy Ghost. Let me say it again. When did you get that power? What's that power? If God is a power source, what's power? Power comes when we are born again in spirit and truth. Through the Holy Ghost, or through the Holy Spirit. I call the Holy Spirit, I gave him a nickname, HG, Holy Ghost, because a lot of people, you say Holy Ghost, they get scared. So that's why they changed it in the Bible, too. They changed the Holy Spirit. But anyway, that's just information you don't probably don't even need and going to use.